It was a rather steep roof, and he was worried maybe that he wouldn't be able to stay on it. And so he had a good idea, he thought. He tied a rope around himself and threw it over the peak of the roof and down the other side, tied it off to the bumper of the car, got up on the roof and felt very secure there with the rope tied around his waist. Well, as it so happened, his wife was in the kitchen cooking and decided at the last minute she needed to rush to the store and get one more ingredient for her recipe. You can imagine what happened. As she pulled out of the driveway in a hurry, she pulled him over the top of the roof and down the other side. He fell to the ground. The story was that he was injured pretty seriously, as you might imagine. We would say about a fellow like that, poor guy, he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, right? We often use that expression to describe people who may be accident victims. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Maybe you have felt that way before, in the wrong place at the wrong time. Well, this morning, I want to tell you that that's not the case. You are at the right place, and this is the right time. And it's a good thing that you are here. But I want to ask you a question about that. I want to ask you, why are you here? In other words, I think there's no question that you're at the right place. This is where you ought to be. This is the right time as we gather to worship God. This is the right time and right place, but we need to talk about what brings us here. What is our motivation for being in this place? And so for a few minutes this morning, we want to talk about why you have come. What has brought you here? What was your thinking process and the motivation that prompted you to get out of bed this morning, get dressed, and come to worship services? I hope we'll be able to say some things that will be helpful. I want to take just a minute before we get into the lesson to express my appreciation for the invitation to come and work with you this week during the gospel meeting. I've been looking forward to it, looking forward to being with many of you that I've known in the past and meeting some new people as well. I appreciate the elders for the invitation, and I look forward to it. Throughout the week, if I can be of special assistance to you in any way, please let me know what I might do to help you. As we study together from the Scriptures this week, I hope that you will certainly give careful consideration to the things that are said. I would tell you right up front, if you find out that I am only voicing my own personal opinion or judgments, you can either accept them or reject them. If it's just my opinion, you can just turn it aside and say, I don't buy that. I don't go for that. But on the other hand, if you find out that the things that are being taught are true to the Word of God, then it's not a matter of my opinion or yours. It is the will of God. It must be accepted and obeyed. And that's what we're going to try to do this week. We're going to try to look to the Scriptures, find out some things about what God has said, what we should be doing. And then, of course, we'll be trying hard to put those things in application. Thank you again for being here this morning, and thanks for the invitation that you've extended to me to join you in this gospel meeting effort this week. Let's talk about why you are here. What prompted you to be here this morning? I would suggest that there, among all of us who are assembled this morning, there are some here this morning who may feel like they had to come. That is to say, they felt like they were forced, and they're really not here of their own free will. Among those, for instance, might be some of the children or teenagers. Maybe they didn't want to come, but their parents just absolutely insisted and said that they must. You will go. You are going to go to church with us on Sunday morning. Get up. Let's go. And they felt forced to come. You know, parents do that sometimes. They insist that children do what they believe to be in their children's best interest. I remember back when I was a kid, and I mentioned last night, when I was a kid, I was a very picky eater. I'm not that way anymore. I need to redevelop that characteristic, I suppose, in some ways. But I remember my parents would force me to eat what they believed were things good for me. My mother was and is to this day a very good cook. And she would fix a fine supper. And in particular, I remember when she would fix a pot roast with all the fixings. Very good. Today, I would be glad to eat that. But back then, I didn't like that. And a portion would be put on my plate. And my dad, I can remember him saying, "You're going to sit there until you eat that." And I would put it off and put it off. Finally, everybody else would be done and the table cleared. And I'd still be sitting there staring at my plate, now turned cold. And finally, because I knew my dad would keep his word, I was going to stay there until I had finished that meal. I would finally kind of hold my nose and gulp it down with a swallow of a big glass of milk to chase it down. Why would parents insist that a child eat a good diet? Well, because they understand that's in their best interest. I submit to you, young people, that your parents, if they insisted that you come to worship this morning, they were doing that for the same reason. They understand that this is in your best interest. You need to be here. These are good things that are being done. This is important activity to be involved in. And so your parents were trying to fulfill their obligation to you. In fact, in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 4, they are specifically commanded to do that sort of thing. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." And so, young people, when your parents insisted that you come this morning, they were doing that because they really felt it was important for you. And they were fulfilling their responsibility to you. Now, if you came, if you young people came on that basis, you felt you were forced and thus you came, that's good in a way, because in that same text that we were looking at there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And so if you complied with their instruction and you came, obediently did what they told you to do, that's a good thing. You're supposed to do that. But I would suggest that that's not really a good enough motivation for being here. You should have come if your parents insisted, but you need to think more deeply about that. And there needs to be a truer and richer motivation for your presence this morning. Keep thinking with me. I'll tell you somebody else who might feel like they had to come this morning, and it's possible that there's some husband or wife in the assembly this morning who's here because your spouse insisted upon it. I maybe can't imagine some husband saying, "You know, I really don't want to go to church tomorrow morning, Sunday morning. I really don't want to go. I'd rather maybe go play golf. I'd rather go fishing. But you know, if I don't go, man, I'm going to have to put up with that for the rest of the week. I'm going to have to listen to her complain about me not going to services. For the rest of the week, I'm going to have to put up with that. And I'd just as soon go as have to listen to my wife complain about the fact that I didn't go for the rest of the week. I'm going to go just to avoid the trouble." Well, if that's the case with you, then I suppose in a way we can commend you for your efforts to promote domestic tranquility, so to speak. The fact that you were trying to do things that would keep peace in the home. Sometimes we do that. Marriage is a give and take situation. Sometimes we have to give in and do what our spouse wants us to do, even if it's not our own personal desire to do so. And so I guess we could commend you in a way if you came just to keep peace with your wife or husband. But again, I would certainly suggest to you that that is hardly a satisfactory reason for being here this morning. So maybe, possibly, in an assembly as large as this, there are some here this morning who felt like they had to be here. That's really not good enough. And we want to continue to think along those lines. I would also think that there might be some here this morning who came because it was expected of them. That is, they understand that there's a certain expectation. You ever watch a baseball game and see the umpire make a bad call and the manager rushes out on the field? Bobby Cox with the Atlanta Braves is famous for doing this. I think he's been ejected from more games than any other manager in the history of Major League Baseball. Well, you see old Bobby Cox, and he's gotten pretty big now, and he sort of waddles out there, you know, and he gets right in the face of the umpire. I mean, nose to nose, and he's just yelling and yelling at the umpire. Finally, the umpire throws him out of the game. Why does he do that? Have you ever seen an umpire reverse a call because the manager rushed out on the field to complain? I've never seen that. It doesn't happen, does it? So why would a baseball manager do that? Well, I think he does it because it's expected of him. He's supposed to do that. If there's a bad call, the manager is expected to protest that call, maybe with the idea that another one won't happen in a following inning of the game. But it's expected of him to do that. Well, I think that maybe some Christians attend the worship assemblies under that same motivation. They know that if they don't come, then at least if they don't come once in a while, then there's going to be some follow-up. Maybe the elders will call. Maybe the preacher will check up on them. Maybe some of the other members will come around to see why they haven't been there. And they really don't want that trouble. You know, they don't want to be bothered in that way. These folks now, mind you, these folks that I'm talking about here are not typically real regular in their attendance. There seems to be a lack of conviction on the part of these people that I'm talking about now. But they're aware of the fact that the Scriptures do say that we're supposed to attend the assemblies. They're familiar with that verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." They remember that verse for sure. They've definitely heard it in sermons often enough. And so they're going to come because they feel it's expected. They're also aware of the fact that if they were just to quit altogether, the church might take some disciplinary action. Passages like 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Thessalonians 3 say that for an unruly brother or sister, there are certain disciplinary actions that might be taken. And they definitely don't want that to happen. And so what they're going to do, the kind of people I'm describing here who feel that there's an expectation on them, these people are going to come at least often enough to keep others off their back, to keep from being bothered for their lack of attendance. Now, again, I would tell you, if that's the case, and I'm asking you to honestly evaluate yourself, what was the motivation that brought you here this morning? If you see any description of yourself in the things that we're saying, you need to rethink this. These are not good enough reasons. I think there also might be some here this morning who come out of a sort of a sense of habit. We get in a routine and we begin to do things by habit. In a house that I previously lived in, not where I am now, but in the house I previously lived in, I had the luxury of one of those automatic garage door openers. What a nice thing, you know. You can push the button and the door raises, and you can go out or in, even when it's raining or other inclement weather. You don't have to. Boy, what a nice thing to have that automatic garage door opener. Well, I got in the habit of using that thing, and one day we were backing out of the garage, and I just reached up and hit the button, because that's what you do. You just reach up there and you get in the habit of it. Only trouble was, hadn't cleared the garage door when I did that, and the door came down right on top of the vehicle. Thankfully, that thing was fixed so that it would go back up when it hit something, and it didn't do any serious damage. But that just is an example of doing something without thinking, just doing it as a matter of habit. Well, some people worship that way. Now, mind you, I think it's a good habit to be in, if you want to use the word habit that way. It's a good practice to come to worship service all the time. You ought to be in that routine. I don't think it's the sort of thing that you ought to have to decide every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. You should not have to stop and think, am I going to go, am I not going to go? It ought to be a well-established practice. And if you want to use the word habit that way, then you ought to be in the habit of attending the services every time. But also think of this, and this is really what I mean when I say some come out of a mere habit. Sometimes it's possible to get in that routine and do it without thinking about why. And so it's just sort of a rote practice, and you're not considering the importance or the significance of the activity that you're involved in. In Matthew chapter 15, at verse 8, Jesus talked about some of the people of his day, and he's actually here quoting Isaiah. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So Jesus indicated it was a problem of worshipers in his day that they went through the motions of worship, but their hearts weren't really involved. It's interesting that he quoted Isaiah in that matter. Isaiah lived 700 years before Jesus. It was a problem in Isaiah's day, and it was a problem in Jesus' day, and it's a problem in our day that people worship just sort of out of routine or habit without thinking. Now, again, I would tell you, if that is what's going on with you, that's not good enough. And so, again, just to sort of summarize what we said, some may feel like they were forced to come. Some may have come because of a certain expectation upon them. Some may have come out of habit. But I want to tell you, I'm fully convinced that there's a whole lot of people here this morning who have come because they really and truly love the Lord. That's exactly right. They love the Lord and they want to show it. And they are aware of the fact that love for the Lord is manifested in trying to do what He has told us to do, trying to obey His will. For instance, in John chapter 14 at verse 21, Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Do you see that? Jesus said, you show your love by what you do. And there are a lot of people here this morning who understand that. And what has brought them here, the motivation that got them here this morning was they love the Lord. And they want to show that love by what they do. And certainly, worshiping Him and doing it regularly is something that we can do to show our love for the Lord. You know, this is not a difficult activity, is it? We're not asking you to do some strenuous physical work here this morning. This is not hard work. Actually, this is a pleasant thing. And it's a great blessing to be able to come together at a time like this, on a beautiful Sunday like we've got today, in such a comfortable place, to assemble to worship God. It's not hard. And those who really love the Lord want to be here for that activity. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, the Apostle said, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous." It's not hard. It's not difficult. That's what He was saying there. And so there are a lot of people here this morning who are here for this reason. They love the Lord. They want to show it. Now, if you were to ask these people, the ones I'm describing right now, if you were to ask them the question that we're asking this morning, why are you here? If you were to ask these people the question, then I think that they would know and possibly be able to give you a very ready answer for that question. But my guess is that these people would also be surprised at the question itself. If you're talking to these people who really love the Lord and they say, "Why have you come to worship this morning?" They might give you sort of a puzzled look. And it's sort of like this. It's sort of like asking the question, "Why do you like hot chocolate chip cookies right out of the oven with a cold glass of milk?" What do you mean? Why do you like that? Doesn't everybody like that? Hot chocolate chip cookies right out of the oven with a cold glass of milk? Of course I like that. Why are you even asking? And that's the way these people would react if you asked them, "Why do you come to worship services? Why are you here this morning? Why do you come all the time?" They would say, "Well, why are you even asking? That seems like an obvious thing. Of course I love to be here. This is where I want to be. I want to show my love for the Lord. And this is a great privilege and blessing to be able to do so." The people that I'm describing here are the kind of people who have the attitude that King David had in Psalm 122, verse 1, when he said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." These people are glad to worship. They look forward to the opportunity for worship. Now, we should perhaps give a couple of disclaimers here. The people that I'm describing at this point in time, these people who love the Lord and want to show it and come to worship services for that reason, They do not come because they always hear the most eloquent sermons. Jeff, we try, don't we? We always try to do a good job. We always try to be on the mark with but we don't always hit the mark. I got to tell you, there's plenty of times when I get done and I think, I didn't get the job done very well this morning. In fact, I can tell when we're on the way home. There's sort of a typical routine on the way home. We're on the road, on the way home, and I will just say, "Well." And Cindy knows that when I say, "Well," that I'm asking her, "How did I do?" And I can tell by how long it takes her to give the answer how I did. You know, if she answers right back, "Oh, you did fine, that was fine," then I know that's probably okay. But if I sense that she's taking just a moment to sort of measure her words, to be careful how she answers, I know that probably didn't get the job done. We don't all, but the people that I'm talking about right here don't come because the preacher is a great entertainer or a great orator, and they come always. They'll keep coming as long as the sermons are always perfectly top-notch. Now, again, as preachers, we want to do as good as we can, but the people I'm describing here who love the Lord and come because of that love, they're not coming just to be entertained by the preacher. They're not coming just because the song leader, for instance, always has the songs perfectly pitched and the pace is exactly right. Again, song leaders strive for that, but if they miss it from time to time, as we do, these people that I'm describing who come out of love for the Lord are not going to quit coming because the song service wasn't exactly right. Furthermore, the people I'm describing here, they do not come because they have nothing else to do. The people I'm describing right here are typically some of the busiest people. They have plenty of other things to do. There's a lot of other things they could have been doing on a morning like this morning, for instance. But they come because they love the Lord. And it's not to say that the people I'm describing, it's not to say that they always feel 100% on top of the world. They have their aches and pains and their headaches and their arthritis and their colds and their allergies, just like everybody else does. But they're going to come anyway because they love the Lord and they want to show it. They know that you show your love for the Lord in the things that you do, and something that we do and should do is come to worship, come together to worship God. And we should be like David, to be glad when we have the opportunity to do so. Now, let me go back to the initial question again. Let me ask you, why are you here this morning? Surely, at this point in our discussion, you realize that you need to be in this last group. You know, of course, that that's the only group that's really going to be pleasing to God. You need to be in that group. It's not enough to come because you feel like you had to, or because it was expected of you, or because you just got in the habit of doing. You know those are not good enough reasons. You know you need to be in this last group that we've been describing, and I think the vast majority of people here this morning are in that group. Commendably, in that group. You've come because you love the Lord. But I hope everybody realizes that's the only group of people here this morning that are really pleasing the Lord. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Our worship has to be in truth. That is, we have to be doing things the way God prescribed them to be done. But it also has to be done in the right spirit. And if we're not in this with our heart, if we're not sincerely involved in the activity this morning, then God will not be pleased. I think that you realize that if you're going to be pleasing to God, you have to be in this last group who come because they really love the Lord. Now, I want to do something. I want to give everybody here this morning the benefit of the doubt. I don't know you. I can't read your mind. Now, understand, of course, that the Lord can, and He knows your heart exactly and precisely. But I can't read your heart. Nobody else can. And so, For sake of argument, we're going to give everybody here this morning the benefit of the doubt. Let's say that everyone who's here this morning is here for this last reason, this fourth reason. Because you really love the Lord, you're dedicated to Him, and you want to show your love for Him by what you do, including to be at the worship assemblies. Now, here's the catch. If this is true, for every one of us, if this is true, then wouldn't that same reasoning bring you back this afternoon when we meet at 3 for another hour of worship? Wouldn't that be sort of an obvious, a given, if you will? That if you come because you love the Lord this morning, then you would also come this afternoon because you love the Lord. And for that matter, we're having a gospel meeting this week. And we're going to be meeting each night of the week. And wouldn't the same reason bring you back throughout the week if you love the Lord? If you really love the Lord, then you're not going to be in the excuse-making business. You're not going to be saying, Lord, I love You, but... Lord, I love You, but there's a ball game on TV this afternoon that I really must see. Or there's a golf... You know, there is some golf on TV this afternoon, and I'd really like to watch Tiger Woods win the U.S. Open again. And I'm going to stay... I love You, Lord, but this only happens once a year, you know. And I'm going to stay home and watch golf on TV. That doesn't fit, does it? That doesn't fit for someone to say, I love the Lord, but I'd rather watch TV. Or someone says, I really love you, Lord, but I've got friends who are coming over for a visit, and I'm going to stay home and visit with my friends instead of come to worship. That doesn't work. Or, I love you, Lord, but my job, my career comes first. I have to do those things before I can consider making my appointments to worship. Or, I really love you, Lord, but you know, this is getting to be a little bit too much. In a normal week, now this week here at Eastside is not going to be a normal week, but in a normal week, what do? Well, we meet for an hour of Bible study in the morning and then an hour of worship. And then we meet again in the evening for another hour of worship on Sunday. And then midweek, Wednesday, meet for another hour for Bible study. 4 hours a week. Can you imagine this? Someone says, you know, I love you, Lord, but they just expect too much over there. They want me to be there 4 whole hours every week, and I just think that's too much to ask. I love you, Lord, but that's overdone. I love you, Lord, but 4 hours is just too much. Well, think of it this way. Let's talk about some old boy, and he's got him a girlfriend. This old boy, he's got him a girlfriend, and he says to his girlfriend, honey, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you more than I can even say. I love you more than anything. I just love you to death. But I can't spend too much time with you, you know. And if you expect me to spend as much as 4 hours with you this week, that's just too much. Honey, I love you, but you want me to be with you for 4 hours this week? That's just unreasonable. That's more than can be expected. Let me ask you a question. How long is that boy going to have that girl as a girlfriend? He already doesn't, right? That's over already. He says he loves her, but he doesn't want to spend 4 hours with her? Doesn't fit, does it? And it doesn't fit when we tell the Lord that we love Him, but we can't even bring ourselves out to the worship services consistently. That doesn't fit. We can see that. And the Lord can definitely see that. And so, that being the case, if we really love the Lord, and if that's what's really brought us to worship this morning, then whenever you have the opportunity, you're going to be here. And we won't have to argue with people about the necessity of worship or the frequency of worship. For people who really love the Lord, we won't get the kind of arguments we sometimes say, where does it say that I have to be there on Sunday night? I've actually had Christians ask me that question, and you might have heard those kind of questions too. Where does it say I have to be there on Wednesday night? And their point is, if you can show me in so many words where it says, thou shalt attend Wednesday night Bible study, then I'll be there. But if you can't find that, and by the way, we know that you can't find that, then I don't feel like I need to be there. People who love the Lord would never make such an argument as that. Do you see our point? And so we ask you one more time, what has brought you here this morning? We understand that loving the Lord means obeying Him and showing our love by the things that we do. And one very simple thing we ought to do is to be faithful in worshiping Him every time we have the opportunity to do so. We're going to end the lesson and sing a song of invitation. And in the singing of this song, we'll be asking you about your obedience to the Lord, not just in worship, but in all things. Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you a Christian? The New Testament plan of salvation is really simple and easy to understand. It involves hearing the truth, believing what you hear, being willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus, and be baptized for the remission of sins. If there's someone who has not done that, but you are ready to, you understand your need, then we're ready to assist you. If you need more study, if there's some question in your mind still and you need more information, if you just say the word, we'll study with you immediately, today, so that you can make your life right with God. If you're a Christian but you've fallen away and you know that your life is not right because you've not been faithfully serving as a Christian, you need to come back to Him in repentance, confession, and prayer. If we can help in any way, let us know while we stand and sing this song.